Welcome to The Protagonistas, a podcast that is centered on highlighting the stories and experiences of Black, Indigenous, and other women of color among communities of faith. Our conversations sit at the intersection of race, gender, sexuality, and spirituality. I'm your host, Kat Armas.
Hola, 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 friends. I hope you all are well. And I hope this beautiful summer season is treating you all kindly. So I want to start by saying that yesterday was a special day because it marked exactly 3 months until the release of Sacred Belonging, which takes a look at some of the well-known and some obscure passages in the Bible through the lens of creation, the body, spirit, wisdom, and the feminine. This 40-day devotional wonders what things like the moon, the stars, the four basic elements, which are fire, water, earth, and air, or the four directions, north, south, east, and west, what all of these things might speak to us about the sacred. It's certainly a devotional for those of us who don't read devotionals or haven't read a devotional in a very long time. But it's also for those of us who read them and love them and want something new and exciting and different. There's something for every one of us in Sacred Belonging, and I hope, friends, it challenges you to see the Bible and our faith with new eyes. But before I say more, I'd like to welcome you to the Protagonistas. So, as I said, my hope is that this new book is challenging in the best of ways. In fact, this was my favorite bit of feedback I received from Abuelita Faith, that it challenged folks to think differently about the Bible. I loved hearing that Abuelita Faith stirred something in folks to read scripture again after not reading it for a long time, but now with new tools for interpretation, challenging them to find things they've never once considered. This, I'll admit, is an incredible feat for many of us who have heard the same things over and over again in the Bible, so much so that stories and lessons end up having what they call a lullaby effect, which is a term that explains what happens when we've read or been taught a story so many times, we inevitably stop paying attention. Instead of illuminating something new in us, it, well, lulls us to sleep, and with reason. The lack of theological imagination in many of the Christian spaces we've been trained in made us believe that there's one way to understand or believe, only one quote-unquote lesson we might learn from any given passage or story. But more than lulling us to sleep, many of us might protest the Bible altogether because of the ways it's been used and abused and used to abuse. Or we might shrug off the miracle stories like Jonah because, according to many folks, if it didn't happen exactly the way it's written, it's impossible for it to matter or hold any sort of truth. The point is, folks, is that it's all so complicated. Life, faith, and our understandings of it all, there are more questions than answers, and many of us haven't been given the freedom to let questions be just that, questions, without clear-cut answers. And I'll be honest, you won't find many clear-cut answers in anything that I write because I just sort of want us to keep wrestling with the questions. I want our theological imaginations to soar because that is where we might meet the divine in our deeper and truer selves. And I just love the Bible because when it's read without baggage, I think it invites us to do this, to imagine, to ask good questions, to dream, to wrestle, to create. So the first section of the book is on creation, and there are a few spaces or places or things that illuminate this in me. The imagination, the wrestling. Nature is one of those spaces. It reminds me of my smallness in the best of ways. In fact, I was recently sitting outside on my deck space to write on one of these hot Tennessee summer days. And every once in a while, the wind would blow just right, just enough to remind me that she's got my back. And in one of these gentle reminders, the wind blew dandelion seeds into the air like bubbles, and I didn't even have to help her do that. I didn't have to pick the dandelion and blow on her myself, which is magical when we get to do so, when we play our part, when we engage with the natural world with awe, when we purse our lips together like a kiss and let our breath do the magic. But it's even more enchanting when nature does it herself, right? Like when we sit back and remember we are not needed. What a grace it is when we receive these gentle reminders that we are not the center of the universe. Which reminds me of how beautiful the last few weeks have been since I started a nature group at my home. Because there's something powerful about community among humans, among mothers, but I started this nature group because there's something even more powerful and even more beautiful about centering human community around our plant and animal kin, around our more than human kin. Each week in our nature group, we do things like look for birds, pick wildflowers, feed and play with my pigs and my chickens and my goats. We wipe wet paint on our pants and eat popsicles shirtless on the grass. We romp around sweaty with sticks and rocks in hand. It's simple but magical being drawn to one another by the grandeur of the natural world. We are bonded together by all that is outside of ourselves, us parents and our kids. We are bonded together by the cool breeze that hits your skin at just the right moment on a scorching summer day, and there are few things more enlivening than that. So last week, we talked about bugs. We read and sang about them, we went looking for them, and then tattooed them with spray bottles and paper towels to our bodies. My kid, specifically, picked a spider because she loves them, a black widow nonetheless. Strangers on the street stopped her and giggled at how edgy and adorable she looked with a giant deadly spider plastered on her tiny forearm. And while she still may be very young, we're trying to learn all the lessons about how black widows are our friends, sure, but friends we respect, friends we keep our distance from. We may not want them too close to us, but we know they play a beautiful and necessary role in our ecosystem. And in Sacred Belonging, I write about this, about how every species plays a unique role in this world. You may have heard of the balance of nature theory, which is one of the earliest and most widely known theories proposed by philosophers and scientists. The balance of nature theory suggests that all things within the natural world are held in a delicate balance, with each entity so finely and intricately interwoven that if one is added or taken away, things can potentially go awry. Take, for instance, the case of the decimation of wolves in Yellowstone National Park. So in the 1920s, wolves in Yellowstone were eradicated due to pressure from ranchers who were worried about them attacking their livestock. But before long, after the wolves were eradicated, elk numbers increased because their predators, the wolves, were now gone. But more elk meant that grass and sapling were overgrazed, which meant that beavers soon disappeared, and the riverbanks were left barren because of this overgrazing, leaving the entire landscape decimated, killing off species of birds that relied on the foliage for nesting. And then, because there was no longer any plant life to protect the ground, flooding washed away the soil and erosion progressed, actually changing the entire flow of rivers. Y'all, this extraordinary course of events was all due to the eradication of wolves. Which proves that their place in the ecosystem is so crucial that eliminating them meant rivers changed course, and certain species could no longer survive there. As I mentioned, friends, everything has a place in the ecosystem. However, I've also learned that the balance of nature theory has been challenged by ecologists who claim that human activity constantly disturbs the environment. And these disturbances, like the killing off of wolves in Yellowstone, lead to chaotic and dynamic changes. And this chaoticness, ecologists say, is actually the norm in nature. Because humans are an unpredictable part of the ecosystem, a new equilibrium occurs when habitats change, although not necessarily for the better. In recognition of this, humans reintroduced wolves in Yellowstone in 1995, stabilizing its ecosystem once again. So this story about the wolves is both tragic and necessary as a reminder that our world is both stable and chaotic. I love that truth that both states exist together, just like our belief and our unbelief at the exact same time, like our firm and doubtful faith, like our beautiful and complicated lives as human beings who Jesus was intricately meshed and involved and completely immersed in. And the reality that our world is both balanced and dynamic is an affirmation of the truth that we belong to a web of diversity, diversity in organisms and experiences. And we need every single one of them, every creature from elephant to black widow, every sweaty and messy toddler, every human existing and thriving and living into the fullness of who they are. Friends, if there's anything I've learned from the natural world, it is that the earth and everything in it tell a story of belonging. A belonging established at the very beginning in accordance with God's desire for all of creation, for the dynamic, chaotic, and delicately balanced world to be in concert together. And it is my deepest wish for you and for me that we get lost in this symphony. Until next week, amigos, much love to you. Don't forget to pre-order Sacred Belonging, where a part of this reflection comes from, and subscribe to my newsletter. Thank you. Talk soon.